hear from you, that this morning, Father God, we're ready to, Father, to physically inhabit whatever download that you want to give us this morning, God. I pray, Father, I thank you for your presence, Father. I thank you that I can stand firm in your love, God, which is a firm foundation. And I pray this morning, Father God, that before we leave here, Father, that we all are walking in that firm foundation and we understand exactly what it means. Let's keep the lights off if we can, guys. I want to keep this atmosphere. I won't be very long. But I feel like God has something very specific for us this morning. I feel like God wants to download some things and impart some things to us and for us to walk in power. And I just thank you, Jesus, for that. Oh, Lord. Guys, I want you to stay in this vein. I'm going to ask for a little bit of participation early, and then I promise I'm not going to leave you alone after that. Raise your hand this morning if at any point in time in this last week, and I need, if you're not, you're not, but raise your hand this morning if you've been tired, you've been beat down, you have felt like you just need to stand in the presence. It's me too. It's me too. Thank you, bro. Thank you. That's me too, guys. And I'll describe my week briefly, and it's not any better, any worse than any one of yours, I promise you. We had one of our own at the high school pass away this week. All right, and I don't know how much you guys know or don't know, and it doesn't really matter, but we had one of our own pass away this week in the middle of the week, and that's never easy for anyone to deal with, and I know there's a lot of folks here this morning that are grieving that still, and really everything else that we could list probably pales in comparison to that. I know Melinda and Matt, I don't know how much you guys really wanted to share, but I know Matthew was in another car wreck this week, but there's been some things happen with some young folks. There's been some, I mean, we have been attacked, guys. We have been in a battle. We have been in a war, and we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but it's the principalities that are after us this morning, guys. And I really felt like God was very specific with how we're supposed to confront this. And God is, he's a loving God. He's a Savior. He's a guy, he is the Comforter. The Bible describes him as that, and that's what he needs to be to us. And I'm not trying to speed up the grieving process or anything like that, guys. You need to be there. That's what we're supposed to do, and God tells us that's natural. However, God also tells us that we're supposed to walk in power. We're supposed to walk in strength, and I really feel like this is a timely word for victory because I'm tired of getting whipped. I'm tired of getting attacked and just saying, well, God, just take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel, and I'll get out of it, because that's not what God has called us to do. God has not called us to shrink back. There's nothing in this word that says that, okay? On top of all that, just to describe my week so it can bring in and be a little less heavy, you know, I personally have been under the same thing as well. I've personally kind of been under a dark cloud. God is not, and I never will, call me to be a loser, all right? And it's rough right now. Okay, my profession has a lot to do with winning and losing, and it's been tough, guys. And I'm not built for that. I shared this with some of the guys Friday night. That's not me, and it's not ever gonna be. And so when we go through some of the things that we go through, you know, it's tough for me to process, because I know that's not how God's called me to walk. I know there's a lot of things and culture shifts that have to take place, and God is continuing to change that, but. What I have done in the last couple of weeks is I've kind of let it get to me. I've let it whip me. Not only that, but everything else that's going on. And what I wrote down is that's not what I'm made for. It's disgusting to me. Just like I feel like God has the same. There's certain things that are displeasing to God. Be hot or cold, you know, don't be lukewarm. There are certain things that he doesn't like. And it's hard for me to be around that. But as the week went on, and Sid had called me and said, hey, man, we may be out of town, and thank you for whatever reason you're not, and I'm glad about that, said, hey, we may be out of town, would you mind sharing? And I'll be honest with you, normally I think most of the guys that get up here and grab this mic were probably continually in some type of meditation or prayer over the heartbeat of the house, you know, and what's for us. And I didn't have that this week. It was tough for me to kind of get the pulse of what God wanted to do here. And then God sent a messenger, like he normally does. You guys know Jay. He was here a couple of weeks ago. Jay Webb stopped by and he shared some things with me and with a couple of the other guys. And as soon as that happened, you know, you just kind of feel like a spark and something leaped on the inside of me. And it has to do with warfare. he shared a story, and then as that went along, you know, for whatever reason, before I went to bed, just a couple of minutes this week, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the movie 300, for whatever reason, out of nowhere, it was just kind of available on my cell phone there, and I watched a couple of the scenes. I didn't watch the entire thing, but I watched a couple of the scenes, and God began to stir these things in me, right in the middle of everything else that we had going on, when we should be praying and thanking God for peace that passes understanding. I felt like God was, the message to us is to grab the sword this morning. And I really feel like that's what the heartbeat for the church is this morning. That's me, guys. And I know a lot of us are that way. You know, we're rough and we love movies like that. And we, you know, I teach history. And my favorite part about teaching history are battles. My favorite parts about that, I like to skip all through the other stuff so I can get to the fighting, because that's what I like. That's who. That's me. That's what's on the inside of me, and probably a lot of us. This week, the last couple of weeks, we've actually been talking about the Civil War. And, you know, that's probably my favorite war to start diagramming battles, because there's no airplanes and drone strikes. You can actually talk about some older military tactics. But there is a quote that Robert E. Lee said, and I share this with the class pretty frequently. He says, it is well that war is so terrible, otherwise we'd grow fond of it, because we like it. And it's good for us, and we just like to get in there, and you know, that's part of that wrestling background and that wrestling mindset. I feel like God has put that within all of us. Throughout this word, you talk about battles, they're in there. And they're not there just so that you know that somebody was fighting somebody else. Okay, that's not what they're there for. They're there for a reason. They're there for us to teach and learn and glean some things. And so as I'm reading this week, and Jay stops by, Jay drops a verse. And immediately as he dropped this verse, I was brought in. I've heard it before, but something left in my spirit, and it's in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. All right, these are David's last words, and he's talking about his mighty men of valor, okay? And he starts talking about these guys, and the first guy, you've seen that movie, I think, about the captain, okay, who ends up losing his son. But the first guy he talks about is Josheb-Bashebeth. He says, these are the names of David's warriors, Josheb-Bashebeth, the Tachanamites. I've been working on that. I felt like I did good. He was the chief of the officers. Doesn't say much about him, but then he says he was the chief of the officers. He sat in that seat and chief among the captains. The same in the New Living Translation, we actually get a little Strong's Concordance in here, and it says he wielded his spear against 800 men at one time. I don't know if that's an hour. I don't know if that's 36 straight hours. But he wielded his spear against 800 men at one time without yield, without break, without, hey, guys, give me five. Let me go. 800 men. You guys, I don't know if you've ever been in some type of fight or tussle or some physical activity, but if you're fighting one man for your life, I would imagine it's rather draining. 800 men without yield, with a spear. I would imagine that is rather draining. I would call that guy a man's man. But that's not the guy I wanted to talk about this morning. It's the very next verse, verse 9. After him, Eleazar. Okay, and we've got King James up on the screen to make sure everybody's clear this morning. Okay, after him, Eleazar, the son of Dodo, son of Ahoy. He was a Hoyite. Been working on that too. How that was that decent? Okay. All right. Says among the three warriors with David when they defeated the Philistines. For those of you who can't remember, that's the same tribe that David was fighting against as a young boy. It says the men of Israel retreated in their place when they had gathered for the battle, but Eleazar stood his ground and attacked the Philistines until his hand was tired and stuck to his sword. All of his friends around him had retreated. All of his friends around him, they fell back. But the Bible tells us that Eleazar stood his ground by himself with no help, no aid, and fought until his hand was stuck to his sword. Sometimes victory just needs one guy to grab a sword. Sometimes victory just needs one guy to grab. He fought until his hand was stuck to his sword. One of a couple of things had to cause that. Either A, he fought so long that his hand cramped up and couldn't do anything but grab his sword. Or B, all the blood and guts and everything else that was draining off of it formed an adhesive and stuck that sword to his hand. I feel like God is calling us here at Victory to understand that sometimes you've got to fight until that sword, that weapon that you're holding sticks to you. That's the next day. Your fight glues or sticks you to your weapon. What is our weapon? This is the sword. God calls us the sword. And we're going to talk about the armor of God and everything else. But sometimes we are supposed to fight until our weapon is one with us. And so many times we get tired and we get weary. That's not what God has called. He's called us to continually fight. Yes, He will give us rest. He will give us rest in His wings and in the shadows and the quiet places. And we'll talk about Moses, who had his hands held up for him by others. But God specifically mentions Eliezer in just a couple of verses. And on purpose, this is put in here on purpose, guys. Do not get to the point to where you get tired of wielding the one thing that glues us to our faith. You're without fighting, you're not glued to your weapon. There has to be a fight. God has not called us to be feeble and weak. We've had some very good teaching for the last year and a half. I know we've kind of evolved into this. I know my entire life and with my testimony, God kind of has put me in a place to where I'm always talking to God, and when I pray, like you guys could probably, you probably get tired of it. I say, Father God, Father God, Father God, Father God. And I call Him my Father, because a lot of that has to deal with my testimony, because that's who I needed at the time of my salvation, was a father. And that's always been something that I've always, thank you for being such a good, good father. That's who you are. But we've had some very good exponential teaching about being the bride of Christ and starting to call Him our lover, because there's a level of relationship that is available when we are walking in that. There's a level of relationship that, when you said it several times, she's got a much deeper level of relationship than any of us will ever have with you, and the same with me and Jamie. But for me, because I'm that guy that likes to fight and I like blood and guts, every time I think about a bride in my brain, and I had to fix this is what I think God changed for me. I think about this beautiful white gown and this veil and the shoes, and she's coming out to this beautiful song, and like, she's just the most gorgeous thing ever, and she's been through all the magazines and to the bridal. And I don't believe that's what the bride of Christ looks like. And I've actually got some scripture, so it's just not my personal belief here. I don't believe that's what He's called us to be. As I'm watching that movie this week, and a lot of it is historically accurate, and a lot of it's historically inaccurate. If you know anything about the Greeks or the Romans or the Spartans, they were one of the first cultures to allow women to speak and have any type of authority. Even here in America, women didn't get the right to vote until the 1900s. Okay, so they were one of the first cultures to allow women to speak and say things. And there's a line in the movie, and they allude to that. You know, he's meeting with a messenger from Xerxes, and she starts talking to the messenger, and he's like, bro, you need to get your woman in check. What's she doing talking to me? And she doesn't wait for him to defend her. She says, no, you don't understand. The reason I get to speak is because we give birth to these Spartan soldiers. We're the only people in the world good enough to give birth to these guys. We're good enough to speak to you. If you got something to say, you can say, you can talk to me. And this is how, as soon as I seen that, and I had no clue why I was watching it, I was like, That's what the bride of Christ looks like. We're not meant to sit down and let Him fight our battles for us. And, oh, just poor little old me. If we look in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 32, this is the prophet Jeremiah. He's saying some things. And he's kind of getting on some people for lack of, I don't want to take too much time developing that. But in Jeremiah, it says, can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me with days. He's getting on people forgetting about God. But he talks about, can a bride forget her attire? How awkward would it be? I know we had some weddings yesterday that Jesse got married and some other people got married. How awkward would it have been for the bride to not bring her dress to the wedding? Or her veil, or that pretty bouquet of flowers, or whatever it is. How awkward would it have been? She's not going to forget that. I got to looking. I had to get here early because I don't have my Strong's Concordance anymore, and I got to get looking. The word attire right there, I looked it up in the Hebrew. It's kashar. And so I went back and I looked it up. And it specifically says a girdle and a headband. A girdle. Ephesians chapter 6. We put on the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. I'll read that to you from here. It says, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest. If you read it, can you bring up Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, please? Excuse me, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate, girdles. Okay? Have the girdle of truth. What is truth for us? What is our only weapon that we have against the enemy is our Bible. It is our word. It is the word. It is the sword of truth. And I feel like God is telling us this morning, I feel like Victory Fellowship, the word for us this morning is, yes, we are the bride of Christ. We need to walk in levels of access that no one else has with Jesus because we are the bride of Christ. But as the bride, we are not the bride that wears the white fluffy dress. We are the Xena, the warrior princess. We walk out and we wear a breastplate of righteousness and we wield a sword of truth and we have a shield. We're not wearing skirts, we're wielding shields. We're not wearing skirts, we're wielding swords. And I know that this is not the prettiest, most eloquent message you've ever heard about a bride, but I feel like the word for us here this morning at Victory Fellowship is God is telling you this morning, and I feel like God is telling some people that are not here this morning. I felt that in my spirit as soon as we were talking about some things earlier with Matthew. God is not telling you to shrink back. God is not telling you to rest under His wings at this point in time, Victory Fellowship. He's calling you to hold your sword to the point it forms to your hand so that everywhere that you walk wielding a sword of truth. Everywhere that we go, we walk wielding a sword of truth, and that we will not shrink back. We will fight until we don't have to fight anymore. And that's what He's... And we will not grow weary in well-doing. The Bible tells us that. You won't. You may get tired. There's several scriptures in the Bible where God talks about giving us rest. When Moses was, when the Israelites had gotten to a battle with the Amalekites, and they found out as long as Moses' hands were raised, they were winning the battle. But it's kind of hard to do this for a very long time, especially hours and hours of battle. And when his hands were down, they began to lose the battle. And he sent two guys like Aaron and Hur to help keep his hands raised so that they could win the day. And God brought forth a great victory. I'm not telling you that you're going to stand like Eliezer every day and battle a group of Philistines on your own and win a battle by yourself. I'm not telling you that. But what I am telling you is that it is not our job as Christians, it is not our job as believers to walk around this planet, to walk around your day-to-day life and not wield any power. It is not our job as Christians to be able to get the first thing that trips us up and have no strength. My strength does not come from me, and that's what I had to get back to this week. I'm great, and I do some awesome things, but I am nothing in the sight of God. If I lean on my own strength, I will grow tired. If I lean on my own understanding, I will grow weary in well-doing. But I cannot do that. If I do that, then I will fail you and I will fail everybody that's around me. It is our job to wield His strength, to wield His sword, to wield His truth. And if we don't do that, guys, we're going to miss the mark. You will fail. You will fall. You will grow tired. You will need breaks. And you will not be exactly what God's called us to be. We will not be the warrior bride of Christ without wielding these things. If you read the scripture that we were reading in Samuel, it says that Eliezer fought, and he fought, and he fought. And after the victory was over, then the rest of the army returned to the battlefield, and they helped clean up the dead. They help plunder the dead, I think is actually what the scripture says. Guys, sometimes you may be the only one out there. You might be the only one out there. And you may look around and say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But as soon as that battle is over, as soon as you've done what you're called to do, God will resurround you with your friends. God will resurround you with reinforcements to help you hold your hands in the air. So I guess what the word of the Lord is this morning, guys, is do not grow weary in well-doing. Do not grow weak in what we are doing. I don't have a whole lot more to preach or teach this morning. That's kind of, I feel like God this morning, I seen this in my sleep last night, had a dream last night, and I seen you laying hands on people. And I feel like God wants to kind of download some things, spirit, supernatural. We talked about let supernatural be natural in this place, guys. We talk about our foundation being on the rock. We talk about doing things the right way. Well, guys, we have the opportunity to do that. We have the opportunity to do that this morning, and that's what I see. So, Tyler, if you want to come up and grab your guitar, Miss Linda, whoever, we can go right back into to the same song that we were singing. And I told you guys that the word would not be long this morning. And I feel like we're at a place spiritually. I didn't want to lose the atmosphere that's within this room, because I feel like God has some downloading He wants to do into the body this morning. I feel like God wants to be able to let us know and charge us and download. I just kept hearing the word download, power and download strength into the body this morning. And I feel like that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to play it cute this morning. Not that we ever do that here. That's not something that we do. But I feel like that is what God is calling us to do this morning. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like for everybody to stand to their feet. I feel like there will be the first call from God this morning is that if you have leaned to your own strength, if you've leaned to your own understanding, if you have decided to put your sword down because you didn't like the way it felt to fight, and God told you this morning that it's time to pick up your sword and go to war and trust Him and let Him send people into your life to help clean up. Let Him send people into your life to help hold your hands in the air. If God struck that chord in you this morning, I pray that you guys start moving towards the altar, start getting ready and preparing yourself to receive a download this morning. God has called us to walk in that strength. God has called us to walk in that power and without fear of weariness. If that's you, get yourself in a position to receive from God this morning.